everyone a happy new year. Nobody said a happy new year. Thank you. Okay. We got rid of 2020. It's an ugly year. Had a virus. We need to send it back. And so we enter 2021, which has some of the remaining effects still kind of wafting behind it. And so we're going to be living through that as well. How many of you already have broken your New Year's resolution? Pardon? Yeah. I resolve that. Yeah, okay. So, there are many people who still today make a lot of resolutions around New Year's and what they're going to do and what they're not going to do and all that. And we'll get into that in a second. But I want to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20 as an exhortation, if you would, as to how do we go into 2021. Did you want me to go up on top here and preach from there, or am I good here? That's good here? Okay, awesome. Yeah, I mean, I will. It's just I get nervous being on a pedestal because people keep kicking the pedestal out from under you. Okay. Ephesians 5, 15 to 20 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Have you noticed that yet? Okay. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." And that's been our prayer even this morning, is that when we come into this place, we sense the very Holy Spirit upon our spirits. "Speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord has promised to bless the reading of His Word. And from that, we have some exhortations as to another new year. And how can we walk into that? What's that maybe even look like for us? Pete, at a New Year's party, turns to his friend Ken and he asks for a cigarette. He says, "I thought you made a New Year's resolution to quit smoking," Ken responds. "Well, I'm in the process of quitting," replies Pete with a grin. "Right now, I'm in the middle of the phase one." "Phase one." "Yeah," Pete laughs. Pete, he says, "I've quit buying them." So in other words, I'm just going to bum them out for a while. There's the top 10 New Year's resolutions of a few years back, but they're still pretty cool today, and I'm going to just give them to you. First one, number one, spend more time with family and friends. Nothing wrong with that one. That's good. There have been a lot of us in 2020 that wished we could spend a lot more time with our family and our friends. And it just hasn't been able to happen for obvious reasons. Number two would be to fit in fitness, to take care of your health, to exercise. And I says, now you're meddling, Pastor. But that's maybe not a bad thing either. Fitting in some time for fitness. I know I feel that. Number three, tame the bulge. I didn't know there was one. Over 66% of adult North Americans are considered to be overweight. And so the number three of all resolutions is to lose a few pounds. And so that's number four is quit smoking. On average, smokers try about four times before they can quit for good. It's not something that just happens, I'm going to just throw it away. And so lots of times that's been a resolution saying, I'm going to try to quit. I think on my dad's part, it was like 44 times before he actually got it. But he has, in the last 30 years, he's been smokeless. Number five, enjoy your life more. Quit dwelling on the negatives and start dwelling on those things which are good for us, and we will enjoy our life so much more. Everything is about perspective. If I perceive that my life is negative, I can only expect things to go negative. But if I perceive that there's good in my life and I think on those things and dwell on those things, I can know that my life is going to be much better than if I dwell on the negative. So think good thoughts. Enjoy your life. Number six, and this is quit drinking. That's no problem for me, but for some it might. But that's one that's always on the top 10 list, is that they need to quit drinking. Number seven is get out of debt. Well, you may not be able to do that in a year. It'll take some planning and some saying no to yourselves and perhaps to some others around. But that also is one. I got two or three more. Number eight says learn something new. And I say, why? I've got enough to do without taking on something else. But it's never wrong to keep on learning. Even at my age, I tend to go and take on a college course probably once every 2 years now. And the reason for that is not so I can have yet another degree behind my name, but it's so that I can stay fresh and stay sharp as to what's going on. And a lot of people have stayed really, really up to date in their education because they wanted to stay sharp. They wanted to learn something new. I was telling someone the other day that when I actually retire, what I want to do is take my tenor sax and learn how to play saxophone again. And I plan to do that. That would be a resolution. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but we'll see. I tend to get myself tied into a whole lot of stuff and then find out that I got way too many things to do and not enough day. Anybody else on that page? Yeah. Number 9 is help others. How quaint. That's thinking of someone else for a change is just instead of ourselves. Doing random deeds of kindness is a good thing to do. So that's number 9. Number 10 on that list was if you get organized. And some might say, I never have, why start now? Or, it's time to get my ducks in a row. And I say something like, ducks? You mean there's ducks? I didn't know there were. But that would be the 10 top list of things that people have resolved that they need to do differently going into a new year. Just picking up on that, I wrote to a preacher in the middle of the week, it happened to be my twin brother, and asked him what he was going to preach on next Sunday, and he wrote back and said that he didn't know yet. He said he had to wait for the mood to strike him. And I accused him of poor planning. And he never heard it said that if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. He says, I have no problem with this because I've already resigned a long time ago and I've been retired for a year and a half. What's your problem? I said, okay, my bad. Do you notice that those top 10 resolutions had nothing to do with spiritual improvement? So if our general public, what they want to change in the year coming up to 2021, most often you will not get much in the way of spiritual improvements or that even God was even included at all. And that's the way it is with many people. They don't include God or Christ in the picture of their lives. And we need to get back to the basics where we are beginning to see that the only thing that really counts is where our walk is spiritually. And I'm beginning to see some of that even more and more, even in the last, day or so. And on that note, I need to thank all those of you who have been praying for us in the last couple of days because we've had just a horrendous couple of days. And we kind of come to and thank you for that. But, it has shown me that our spiritual walk is much more important than almost anything else that's going on. Let me suggest to you that the Lord should be included in every aspect of our lives, whether our marriage, our family, our children, our work, our play, even our play. The story actually is called The Big Winner. It's from several years ago, and you'll know that when I give you the name of the person. Donny Osmond, remember him? Osmond Brothers? Yeah, okay. He was declared the new champion of Dancing with the Stars. You might even remember this. It's probably reaching back like 10 years ago now. He's taking home the show's Mirror Ball trophy in the season finale of the ABC Contest reality program. And Osmond, the former teen pop star singing Osmond, said that the show had been a highlight in a career of ups and downs for him. He says, I did it, Osmond exclaimed, and he promptly rushed over to the audience and he plucked out his wife, Debbie, whom he carried across the stage. But there's something bigger and even better than that. And that's being a winner in the eyes of God in our new year. As we walk into 2021, what's that going to look like? What kind of differences is it going to make? At the end of 2021, are you going to be closer to Jesus Christ than you were at the end of 2020? At the end of January, are you going to be closer to Jesus than you are even now? Or is it something we're going to play with again? I often say in counseling, are you ready to make a change or do you want to go around the mountain one more time? And I know that that's almost harsh to say it that way. But we are notorious for wanting to go round and round the mountain. And we want to do it again and again and again and expect some kind of change to happen. And it doesn't. And it's ludicrous to even think it will. But if we want to see change in our spiritual life, it means we need to take some steps. And that's what I want to look at here in a second. So here's some good advice. At least I think it's good, solid advice for making your new year a good or a better new year. And I'm going to give you three of them. So in the new year, be careful. Secondly, in the new year, be thoughtful. And in the new year, be thankful. You find that those are all very fairly positive. And I want to break those down for you. So in the new year, we need to be careful. Verse 15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So we need to be careful in our living. Be careful in the ways that, in the way you live. Be careful, be wise, be careful with your time. Because it's God's time. He gave it to you to manage. And sometimes I'm a poor manager. Don't contribute to the evil that's around us. Use wisdom. Seek the Lord's will in all of those things that we're doing. Every day, in every way, we need to seek the Lord's will. And I know that we can get really tied up with life. And all of a sudden, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours have gone by and we really haven't thought much about anything other than what we've got our mind into right now. And we have to come back and say, Lord, I need you at the front of my day to take care of those times when I forget. Because I'm going to. Steve Rowe has a catalog of self-induced injuries and it reads like something right out of a Spanish Inquisition handbook. Have you ever had issues that just kind of happened to you and you can write out a list of how clumsy I really must be? I mean, I've had days like this, okay? So he on his list, I don't have near the stuff he's got, a fractured skull, a torn rotator cuff, shattered fingers, broken wrists, fractured elbows, torn muscles, sulfuric acid burns, self-stabbings, multiple broken noses, and as of last month, a ruptured tendon in his ankle. He says, I didn't trip or anything. Says this 46-year-old patent attorney from Madison, Wisconsin. He says, I was just walking down the hall in a hurry, and I went around the corner, and it suddenly felt like somebody hit me in the ankle with a baseball bat. I don't know about you. Have you ever been going down a corridor, and you turn to make the corner, and you turn about a step too short, and you walk right into the side of that wall, or taken off the door frame or something like that? Is it just me that does that? Is it something with that get my eyes fixed or something? This guy has a life like that, where it just happened. For you in 2021, hurry, worry, multitasking, and stress. You might call them the four horsemen of the accident prone. But we live there, don't we? We're always in a hurry. We're worried about something. We're multitasking as we go. And I got to tell you, I am the world's worst at multitasking. I cannot even look to find where my coffee is driving down the highway without looking up and finding out that I'm almost into somebody's field. I have to be really careful when I'm doing that. And stress. Stress is the number one killer in Canada. Did you know? You thought it was COVID. Yeah, it's stress. Right? Stress is the number one killer in Canada. And guess what's causing a lot of stress these days? Oh, yeah, COVID. I'll leave that alone now. No, I won't. Stress is a huge factor when it comes to accidents. In fact, it was recently linked as to an increase in post-9/11 traffic fatalities by researchers in the University of Minnesota. We are living in a fast-paced, action-packed world that has caused a little bit of stress, but a lot of stress in our lives. If you want to know if you're stressed out, if you're ever doing something and your vision kind of goes a little funny, not even for a long time, just for a second, or you get flybys in your eyes, or you take a step and it wasn't quite right, that's stress. That's stress. You need to de-stress. I don't know if you're I'm not going to go there. I was going to talk about taking a journey across country and then coming back and talking to some of our politicians. Hurry, worry, multitasking, and stress lead to all kinds of actions. We're all vulnerable when it comes to that. And we need to take care that we're not going to be in that issue. The same is true in our spiritual realm. If we are not properly focused in our life, we will suffer for it. And most of the time, we're far too worldly or materially focused than we are in our spiritual world. Let's be honest about this. We are not as spiritually minded as we should be. Okay, I know I'm speaking to myself. If it's good for you, take it. We're not as spiritually minded as we should be. We're far more earthly or worldly minded. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, it tells us that we should be doing what we should be doing and or focusing on. And it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's the hope that we're hanging on to, right? I've been reading a whole lot of books lately about the whole idea of a pre-tribulation rapture, and I don't want to get into a theological debate as to whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, or whether you're just pan-trib. It'll all pan out in the end. I don't care where you are on that. Now, I do care sometimes how you get there, okay? But I tend to believe that I want to go on the first lift, okay? And so I've been reading a lot about that. I'm realizing lately that if I really want to be there, and if I really want to study that and to understand that, I need to know that that's where my hope lies. It doesn't lie in a bank account. You'll see that in the next few months. It doesn't hope. My hope doesn't lie in a government taking care of me. My hope doesn't lie in my great abilities to be able to be a good counselor at Centennial Center. My hope lies in Jesus Christ alone. And I have to come back to that page and that realization on a regular basis. In November of 25 of 2009, I realize that's a stretch back there, Toyota has a recall. It comes out of Washington, and Toyota Motor Corporation said it's going to replace the accelerator pedals on about 4 million recalled vehicles in the U.S. Because the pedals can get stuck in the floor mats. And that became another blow for the reputation of the then world largest automaker. Need to be careful that we're doing things well and doing things right. But I have to say, perhaps we all need a recall, too, in regard to our lives, because we don't always function properly. Again, I'm pointing to myself, and I get that. Sometimes we even get out of hand, and we do crazy things. Our accelerator gets stuck. And no matter how good we are, sometimes we mess up. And we need to be more careful and use our time more wisely for Christ. Have you ever said something and realized right after you said it that you stepped in a hole? Okay? I should have thought about that before I said it. Or I should have thought about that again before I said it. Or I should have reread that before I hit send. Right? That's what we're saying. We need to really rethink things and be very careful. Use our time wisely for Christ. Someone said, on my way to deliver a computer to a customer, I saw a handwritten sign at the entrance of the alley, and it read, blocked, do not pass. Difficult to turn back. I continued anyway because I can. Only to discover that the alley was indeed blocked by a fallen tree. And as predicted, it took me a long time to get my truck turned around. And when I finally got back to the entrance, I noticed the second sign, and it read, told you so. God has told us so many times in life and in Scripture, but it seems that we just don't listen too well. Is that true or is it not? That's true for some of us anyways. Some people just keep on doing the same old things when they know that they are not right to do. And someday it will catch up to them. And God will do worse than block the road and put a sign on the end that reads, told you so. Because we live with the consequences of our actions. I was told of a pastor one time speaking to a bunch of young kids in a Sunday school class, and he was doing an illustration, and he brought with him a short chunk of 2x4 and a handful of nails. And as he had each child say, what is something that would be a sin? And they would stand up and say something, and he'd drive a nail into the board, not all the way in, because it'd be a brute to get out. And so after he had a handful of nails into the boards, the various sins that we have been known to do, he says, can we be forgiven? Can these nails be taken away? And certainly, all we have to do is ask Jesus into our heart and ask him to forgive us of our sins. And so as we did that, then he pulled those nails out. He says, now this board is perfectly right again, right? And I said, no, it's got all kinds of nail holes in it. And I said, so it is with our decision-making process. We will live with the scars that we create. And we do. And we need to be more careful that we don't walk through 2021 scarred when we didn't need to. We need to be careful in the way we live. We need to use our time for the Lord. Seek the Lord in our life. Serve the Lord no matter what else we do. Secondly, in the new year, be thoughtful. Do not get drunk on wine, verse 18, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Be thoughtful of others. That's always good advice. But here we are to be thoughtful of God's Spirit who lives within us. From an unknown source comes an article that was titled, How to Be Miserable. I didn't think I'd need to read or study that really hard. It kind of comes natural to some of us if we keep on doing the things our way. It says, think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily for what people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious of everyone. Be jealous and envious. Be sensitive to slights, looking ever to be offended by nothing. Never forgive a criticism. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for your favors that you show them. And never forget a service that you have rendered. Shirk your duties if you can. Do as little as possible for others. Are we ever guilty? At times we are. We all like to be appreciated for the good things we've done, and however we tend to get caught up in ourselves if we're not careful, we can become too self-focused and forget about others. When Roy Delamonte was chaplain of Payne College in Georgia, he preached the shortest sermon in the college's history. However, he had a rather long topic to preach on. What does Christ answer when we ask, Lord, what's in religion for me? Well, the complete content of his sermon was one word, nothing. He later explained that that one word sermon was meant for people that were brought up on that whole gimme, gimme gospel. Name it, claim it, gab it, grab it, whatever, you can put your title on it. When asked how long it took him to prepare the message, he said, only 20 years. Because he tends to learn the hard way. Many people are only interested in what we can get for ourselves, not what we owe the Lord or not what they can give to others, but what's in it for me. And we need to come to a place where you say, Lord, you know what? That's me. I've seen that in myself, and I need to ask for forgiveness. I need to do better than that. I'm reminded of several key verses and scriptures that which should help us to guide our thinking and our lives as we enter 2021. Aren't you glad that these New Year's Day services are only once a year? You know, you get spanked good on Sunday morning and then sent out to be good for the rest of the year. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Have you been there? We do it all for the glory of God. I fall down pretty quick. Galatians 5, verse 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. There's a fellow that used to write a lot back in the 1970s. His name was Warren Wiersbe. Anybody remember him? Warren Wiersbe had a book that spoke about the one another as a scripture. And it's all about taking care of one another. And this one here is one of them. Serve one another. Be patient with one another. And it goes on and on. Be kind to one another. And after a while you say, oh, come on, quit it. You're spanking me. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's that mean to bear with one another? That means you're going to be able to put up with a nuisance. You ever had somebody that you know that as soon as they're coming towards you, there's going to be 20 minutes and not much. And it could be a nuisance. And you really feel like I'd rather be almost anywhere. And Scripture tells us to bear with one another. I'm just trying to make it real for you, folks. Just trying to make it real. We need to bear with one another. But for the grace of God, you could be right there. And Galatians 6, 9, and 10 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Do you notice it didn't say to the select few? But we need to do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's simply telling us not to hold a grudge or to be offended. Or you can fill in the page there as well. Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40 says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. These two commandments are the greatest. If we love God first of all, and then love our fellow human beings, we won't go wrong. So verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. So instead of being self-centered, we need to be Spirit-centered. We should think more of Him than we do about ourselves. Be more spiritually minded than worldly or fleshly minded. And if we set our minds on Scripture and prayer and praising and serving, we will have a better new year. Third one, last one. In the new year, be thankful. Be thankful. We really do have a lot to be thankful for. Even though we're seeing some of the things kind of dissipating away behind, even in front of us, we have a lot to be thankful for. Verse 19 says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So be thankful in Christ. Living a grateful life will keep you on the straight and narrow. People who are not aware of their blessings are not very thankful people. Instead, they're always looking for that next handout or that always looking for something more. Back a while ago, nearly 70% question in an Associated Press Ipsos poll said people are ruder than they were 20 or 30 years ago. I tend to agree. Peggy Newfield, founder and president of Personal Best, said the generation that came of age in the times of changing 1960s and 70s are now parents who don't really stress the importance of manners, such as opening a door for a female. I realize that there could be some ways about that. A whopping 93% in the AP Ipsos poll faulted parents for failing to teach their children well manners that they can walk with into the future. Are you rude? I hope not. Are you quick to be polite in actions and in speech? Sometimes I find myself forgetting to say thank you to someone or for something that they did, and later I whip myself for it. I said, what was I thinking? And the issue was I wasn't thinking. Shame on me for being forgetful and unpolite, but we need to think about that thing. We need to be thankful going into 2021. What about being rude to God? Are we doing that? Would we ever be rude to God? When we fail to express proper thanks and gratitude, that's being rude. And to Him we owe our greatest thanks and praise. A 5-year-old said grace at the family dinner one night. Dear God, thank you for these pancakes. When he concluded, his parents asked him why he thanked God for pancakes when they were having chicken, and he smiled and said, I thought I'd see if he was paying attention or not. I believe that God pays very good attention to us when we pray and when we don't. Nothing gets past Him. He tells us that. I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. We're not going to pull the wool over His eyes. When we praise Him and when we don't, He gets it. On Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3, it says, praise the Lord, O my soul. all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Dr. Dale Robbins, he writes this. He says, I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems, but I've come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It actually amplifies our own frustrations. It spreads discontent and discord and can invoke the invitation for the enemy to cause havoc in our lives. Complaining makes us miserable. Further, if you dwell on negative things, your life aims towards the negative. If we dwell on the positive, our life aims towards the positive. Really, a lot of the stuff that we live with is our own doing. In Psalm 77, verse 3, in the second half, says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. It comes out of the New King James Version. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and a depraved generation, in which you should shine like stars in a universe. So a positive, thankful person is a great witness in a dark world that we're living in today. And you will see the difference. Have you ever just sat in a restaurant, and I know it's not lately, I get that, okay. But you sat in a restaurant, and you've listened to the conversation around you. And very, very quickly, it'll be centered around one certain person, and it'll become quite negative. And if you say one positive thing into that conversation, all of a sudden it changes totally. That's the difference. In which you shine like stars. We need to be the one that puts that positive in there. Well, I know who you're talking about. I think he, she, is, and put a positive spin on it. A positive or a thankful person is a great witness in that dark world. We only shine when we're thankful. And our light shines for the Lord when we are thankful, and we live it, we express it. I'd much rather hear someone say things like, bless the Lord, or thank you, Lord, or praise the Lord, rather than complain. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, just about done, says, give thanks in all circumstances. Notice it didn't say just some circumstances. And I realize that there are some issues that come down the pike, and you say, Lord, how can I even be thankful in that? I'm not thankful in that. There's everything within my spirit is just rebelling at this thing. And if we dig deep, we'll find that there's some things that we can be thankful about in that. I'm convinced that a grateful person, a thankful person, will live a better life and will be blessed with a better life. So, do we want a better life in our new year? We need to be polite to God, be quick to praise Him and to thank Him every little blessing that you receive. In other words, is we need to be more mindful. So I want to conclude. Someone said last year when I called my parents to wish them a happy new year, my dad answered the phone. He says, well, Dad, what's your new year's resolution? And I asked him. He says, to make your mother as happy as I can all year. He answered proudly. And then Mom got on and said, Mom, what's your resolution? To see that your dad keeps his. God would like to see us keeping his resolutions, not ours, but his. He knows that the way to be blessed is to listen to him, to talk to him, to let those bygones be bygones, to put an X on the page and saying, starting today, right now, I choose by an act of my will to live the rest of my life for the Lord. I'm going to make 2021 a year of looking ahead. I refuse to be offended by my past. I look forward, and I choose to be grateful. Man, that would be a blessing. Not only for God, but for you. He wants us to keep His resolutions, not ours. He knows that that's the way for us to be blessed. Walking with the Lord, doing things His way, is the way to live a blessed 2021. So we need to be careful in what we do. We need to be thoughtful about others around us and not rude. And then finally, we need to be thankful in all things. Have a very happy 2021. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for what you've done for us. And as we enter a new year, Lord, we give you glory for it. We've come out of a hard year. And we're walking into a new one that doesn't look a whole lot easier yet. But Lord, we pray that as we do, that we're going to be people that are careful. We're going to be a people that are thoughtful. And we're going to be a people that give thanks. And we're going to give you glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.